Good afternoon in Europe. Good morning in the U.S. Welcome to our Q4 and fiscal year 2013 earnings conference call and webcast. Thank you very much to everyone joining the call. With us today is Mark Schneider, CEO of Fresenius, and Stephan Sturm, the CFO. Before we get started, I'd like to mention that today's call is being recorded, and I'd also like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement and disclaimer wording on page two of the presentation. This cautionary language also applies to the presentation and comments to be made today. Mark Schneider will now start with a general overview, and Stephan Sturm will take you through the financials. Afterwards, management is prepared to answer your questions. Now I would like to hand it over to Mark. Mark, please.
Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our conference call participants today. As always, we appreciate your interest in our company. It was a busy and yet another successful year for Fresenius, with a lot of progress regarding some of our key operating and strategy objectives. I know from your feedback over the morning that our outlook has caused disappointment among our investors. Stephan and I will be happy to allow extra time for your questions in this call. We will get to our outlook later, but let me say upfront that our guidance is driven by the notion that in business, delivering the goods is more important than promising them. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor language to you, so let's move right to page three, which puts our 2013 net sales and net income development in a 10-year perspective. We set new records on both metrics in 2013 and achieved our goal of exceeding 20 billion euros in sales and 1 billion euros in net income 1 year ahead of plan. As you can see from the timeline, it has been a rewarding decade for Fresenius. And our new midterm goal for 2017, which I will cover later, shows that our prospects continue to be bright. Page four confirms that shareholders are fully participating in these strong financial results. For the year 2013, we will propose a dividend increase of 14% to our board of directors and to our shareholders in the annual general meeting in May. This increase is fully in line with the dividend policy we outlined last year. Under this policy, we intend to grow dividends in lockstep with earnings growth before one-time items. As we pursue this policy, the payout ratio is expected to stabilize at slightly over 20%. The chart on the right-hand side confirms that our compounded annual total shareholder returns of the last 10 years exceeded the DAX average by about 10 percentage points. Let's turn now to page five and the specific financial results for this year. In 2013, we achieved sales of 20,331,000,000 euros, EBIT of 3,045,000,000 euros, and net income of 1,051,000,000 euros. Growth rates at actual currency rates were a little below constant currency growth rates, as both the US dollar and some key emerging market currencies weakened compared to the year 2012. When it comes to EBIT growth, please note that the impact coming from Fresenius Medical Care gets overstated in our consolidated financial results. Fresenius Medical Care's EBIT gets fully consolidated in those numbers, while net income reflects just the 31% share of earnings that we have in Fresenius Medical Care. Excluding Fresenius Medical Care, our EBIT growth for the full year 2013 was 7% in actual currency and 8% in constant currency. Let's turn to page six and the financial results by business segment. Sales growth was strong across the board and in fact double-digit for Fresenius Kabi and Fresenius Vamed. Fresenius Helios was leading EBIT growth with a 21% increase, marking the eighth consecutive year of double-digit EBIT growth. EBIT growth at Fresenius Medical Care and Fresenius Kabi was impacted by several extraordinary items, including U.S. sequestration, the label change for our blood volume expander, HES, FDA remediation costs, and the price cuts in China. As you will see from the detailed business unit presentations and our expectations for 2014 and beyond, most of these items will either stabilize over time or not recur. Before turning to Kabi, Helios, and Vamed in greater detail, a brief word on Fresenius Medical Care. The company is making good progress in the face of significant reimbursement changes in 2013 and 2014. I applaud CMS for a balanced rebasing rule, which was published in late November 2013. But there's also no denying that flat U.S. reimbursement requires us to step up our efforts to improve efficiency. The combination of ongoing efficiency improvements and dialysis growth prospects outside of the established markets in the U.S. and Western Europe should result in solid earnings growth prospects for Fresenius Medical Care in the midterm. Let's turn now to Fresenius Kabi. The company has performed at the top end of our expectations in 2013, in spite of several adverse issues, in particular the China price cuts and the sales reduction for our blood volume expander, HES. With continuing drug shortages in the important U.S. market, we achieved organic sales growth of 5%. To get a good understanding of our organic sales growth expectations for 2014, slide 7 provides a helpful breakdown by geography. For Europe and the emerging markets, we expect an improvement over 2013 as some of the 2013 items are stabilizing. When it comes to Europe and HES in particular, let me confirm that sales development in the fourth quarter of 2013 was in line with our earlier projections. We saw a Q4 decrease of about 40% year over year and a decrease of about 20 to 25% for the full year 2013. We now expect that sales will stabilize at the Q4 2013 levels in 2014. For North America and the truck shortage situation, we are faced with the same issue that we saw in the past 4 years. We simply cannot predict how the situation develops. The IV truck shortage situation at the end of January was roughly unchanged from what we saw in the fourth quarter of 2013. Meanwhile, new shortages have occurred, such as the one for large volume IV fluids. FDA has granted regulatory discretion to allow Fresenius Kabi to import various sizes of sodium chloride solution from Europe. We are currently developing a timeline to begin supplying limited quantities of these solutions to the United States. Another important marker is our propofol market share in the U.S. We exited the year with a combined propofol and Diprivan market share of 88%, despite competition from three other generics. Our January shipments of propofol confirm strong underlying demand, and we expect to retain majority share for this product for the year 2014. When it comes to IV drug launches in the U.S., we came in, as expected, below our annual target of 6 to 10. We launched 3 products in 2013, and also expect to be slightly below our 6 to 10 launch target in 2014. The good news is that our launch schedule then foresees a bolus of launches in the 2015 through 2017 timeframe, when we expect to exceed our 6 to 10 target in some or maybe all of these years. All of these items I just described for the year 2014 are fully reflected in our Kabi guidance, which Stefan will share with you later this call. Before turning to Kabi's midterm prospects, a brief update on our quality efforts. This is a key issue for us. We have devoted significant top management attention and investment to remediating the situation at our Grand Island, Kalliani, and Maricao plants. We also strengthened the Kabi Quality Assurance organization. At this stage, we are still awaiting the next FDA audit in Grand Island. We are also restarting our Kalliani facility, and we have been audited just again recently by FDA in Maricao, with zero 483s issued at the closeout meeting, reflecting the strong remediation efforts made at the site. Let's turn now to the midterm prospects for Fresenius Kabi on page eight. We believe that those prospects are very attractive. They are in particular driven by continued growth opportunities in the generic IV drug space and by broadening and fully rolling out our product portfolio in emerging markets. Recent emerging markets weakness may have affected the currency situation, but we have not seen any material impact on the healthcare spending that these emerging economies are targeting. Without going into the details of all the countries listed in the table on the right-hand side of page eight, please note that we have plenty of room to grow our product spectrum in each of these markets. China is a case in point. Our 2013 sales in China were about 500 million euros. Almost three-quarters of that revenue came from our leading position in the medical nutrition market that we enjoy in China. Roughly one-quarter came from all the other Kabi product groups. As you compare that to the global Kabi revenue breakdown by product group, it is exactly the other way around. About one-quarter medical nutrition, three-quarters the other Kabi product groups. As we build our position in the Chinese market, we will be striving for a more balanced revenue composition by strongly expanding the sales in these other product groups. With this, let me turn to page nine and Helios. The slide recaps the status of our major project, which is the acquisition of 40 clinics from Rhön Klinikum. The graph on the right-hand side shows you the combined locations, which will give us unprecedented geographic coverage in Germany. While antitrust approval took a little longer than anticipated, we will be able to consolidate revenues and earnings of about 70% of the acquired business as of January 1st, 2014. For about 20% of the acquired business, the consolidation date will be March 1st. For two hospitals, in the cities of Wiesbaden and Salzgitter, approval of municipal shareholders is still pending. At this stage, we are fully confirming our published estimates for synergies, integration costs, and earnings accretion. Turning to Vamed on page 10, Vamed has had a stellar year with 21% sales growth. The company also reached its 1 billion euros sales target a full year ahead of plan. With order entry in the project business at an all-time high, we are also looking with confidence towards the future. As you can see from the graph on the right-hand side, the company has cautiously shifted its project and service business mix from roughly 70-30 to less than 60-40 over the past 5 years. This all happened at a time when we saw double-digit project business growth. With the service contracts, we bring more stability to the top line since they are typically multi-year. This helps to decrease sales and earnings volatility. Stefan will cover the detailed 2014 guidance for the group in the key business segments in his part of the presentation, but I wanted to give you a sense of where we are headed midterm through the year 2017. Our new stretch target calls for about 30 billion euros in sales and net income in the 1.4 to 1.5 billion euro range. The revenue target will include first and foremost organic sales growth, but also some small to medium-sized acquisitions. As we reach our midterm targets for each of the business segments, we will update those periodically as well. With our strong and balanced healthcare portfolio, and our focus on solid operational improvements, we're certainly headed in the right direction. This concludes my part of the presentation. At this point, let me hand it over to Stefan for a detailed look at the financials.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, good morning, welcome, thanks for joining. Last year at this point, we said that 2013 would be another record year, and it was. So straight over to the group P&L, and that's on slide 13. Q4 sales came in at 5.3 billion euros, up 6% year on year at constant currency. Reported growth is 2%, so with minus 4 points, we again had a meaningful currency headwind in this past fourth quarter, albeit at the lower end of my guidance. And to reiterate my statement from our Q3 call, that is primarily, but not exclusively, due to US dollar weakness. We continue to look at meaningful currency devaluations in Venezuela, Argentina, South Africa, India, but also Japan. Again, all relatively minor revenue contributions, but it adds up. For the full year, as per the right-hand column, we're at plus 8.4% at constant currency, so bang in the middle of our 7 to 10% guidance. And as projected during the last earnings call, a currency effect for the full year of minus 3 points. Organic sales growth for the group reached 4.5%, also in line with my guidance of around 5%. EBITDA, not on this slide, where the margin reached 20.1% in the fourth quarter, up a point quarter on quarter, with improvements across all business segments. Depreciation amortization at 4.2% in the fourth quarter, stable from Q3, slightly above our traditional 4% level. That's given the amortization charges from recent acquisitions, Fenwall in particular. Also for 2014, I'd expect a ratio of just above 4%. Q4 EBIT was 843 million euros, up 2% year on year at constant currency. And given stability on D&A, the EBIT margin is also up 1 point from Q3 to 15.9%. That took the full year margin to 15% flat. Corporate EBIT was minus 25 million euros in the full year. That amount includes 6 million euros from Fresenius Biotech. For 2014, adjusted for Biotech, I'd expect no meaningful change and therefore around minus 20 million euros. On to net interest, which was 135 million euros in Q4, very much in line with the prior quarter. And that took the full year to 584 million euros versus my guidance of approximately 600 million or slightly below. Going forward, I believe that Q3 and Q4 can serve as a good proxy for the underlying run rate. 135 million euros times 4 takes you to 540. Now we've got to add the RUN financing expenses. And there, I'd assume approximately 3.5% on roughly a 3 billion euro purchase price. That will get you to around another 100 million euros on top. Application of free cash flow over the course of the year will reduce the aggregate number slightly. So for 2014, I expect a net interest charge of 610 to 630 million euros. Taxes, where the group tax rate improved further to 27.8% in the full year. That level, in my mind, is not sustainable, unfortunately, even when taking into account the well below average tax rate of the Rhön hospitals. For 2014, therefore, I expect a slight increase to up to 29%. Finally, net income. And that was 298 million euros in the fourth quarter, up 21% year on year at constant currency. And that acceleration of growth took the full year rate to 14%, the top end of our guidance range. And as per my guesstimate from the third quarter, the full-year foreign exchange impact was minus 2 points. Also, incidentally, for the group excluding FMC, Q4 net income growth was a mighty 26%, or 20% at constant currency in the full year. So, once again, very decent growth rates off a demanding base. With that, let's move over to Kavi on slide 14. And as usual, when it comes to the EBIT margin, let's start at the bottom of that page. And there you can see total EBIT, excluding Fenwall, of 901 million euros, a strong fourth quarter margin of 20.5%, took the full year to 19.8%. So that's in the upper quarter of our guidance range. One row up, Fenwall contributed 25 million euros in the full year to a total of 926, diluting Kabi's margin to 18.5%, right in the middle of our guidance range. And the minus 1% growth year on year actually turns into a plus 1% on a constant currency basis. Fenwall's negative EBIT in the fourth quarter is a true one-off. In a planned move, we canceled some contracts with external distributors to gain even more control over our destiny. And as a consequence, we had to reverse prior revenues and EBIT. Much more importantly, we're making good progress integrating the business, and synergies have started to come through as planned. And also organic sales growth is well in line with our expectations. On to FDA remediation charges, and those are 31 million euros in the full year. That is relative to our guidance of up to 50 million euros, net of the book gain on the disposal of our French Kalea business. I can tell you now that that book gain amounts to approximately 50 million euros. So the FDA remediation cost us approximately 80 million gross in 2013. Now, that's a massive amount, and let me clarify that we've taken a very comprehensive and thus conservative approach on this. The gross amount includes both cash and non-cash items. So we're looking at foregone EBIT relative to earlier expectations, as well as the value of scrapped inventories, just as much as we include consulting fees, penalties, and higher sourcing costs for external APIs. Given this wide definition, our original guidance remains valid. We continue to believe in a total amount of up to 50 million euro net of the book gain. So we expect some further expenses this year and potentially next, but this is fully reflected in our guidance. Now on to the regions from top to bottom. In Europe, I have guided to a meaningful margin pickup in Q4 on the back of IV drug launches and transfusion tenders, and that actually materialized. 19.3% in Q4, that took the full year margin to 17.4%. For this year, I'd expect a margin at around last year's level. On the one hand, we see underlying progress, but that'll be offset, at least partially, by missing EBIT from HEIS sales. I had cautioned you about Q4 in North America. There, a margin of 32.1% took the full year to 35.9%, so in line with my mid-30s guidance. Key drivers of the quarter-on-quarter decrease were the Fenwall topic that I just mentioned, higher R&D spending, but also a few one-timers. For 2014, Mark described the uncertainty surrounding drug shortages, and the margin range that goes along with a fairly wide range for organic growth spans from the low to the mid-30s. And that, to be clear, corresponds to a range from the mid to the high 30s for just our IV drugs business. Q4 margin in the emerging markets was a bit behind our expectations. I had hoped for 17% in the full year rather than the actual 16.5%. but in particular, given the unabated strong volume growth, we're confident of a margin pickup in 2014. We are having a bit of a spillover from the price cuts in China, but on the other hand, the lower FDA remediation charge in Kalyani is going to help. The absolute margin level, that will still be impacted by Hayes and just mentioned the Chinese price cuts and the mix effect, whereas a few countries with above average margins suffer from currency devaluation and enter the mix with a lower weight. Corporate and R&D saw the benefit of the Kalea book gain last year. The underlying growth stems from higher R&D expenses. But I'd view the adjusted 2013 level also as a good proxy for this year. Those were my comments on Kabi. Let's move on to Helios on slide 15, where we reached full-year sales of almost 3.4 billion euros, up 6% year-on-year. Organic sales growth was again a bit softer in the fourth quarter, but with 3% we made our guidance, and going forward, we don't see any structural impediment, rather the contrary. Total EBIT in the full year was 390 million euros, up 21% year-on-year, and close to the top end of our guidance range. That's a margin of 11.5%, up a further 40 basis points from the nine-month level, driven by the excellent Q4 performance of 12.6%. Over to Helios's clinic development plan on slide 16. And before we go into the details, this is the new methodology we announced last August. So we're showing EBIT rather than EBITDA. It's 6 rather than 5 years to maturity. And importantly, we're incorporating post-acute facilities, which are, in general, margin dilutive. Now into the table. And as every year on this occasion, let's start with the total column on the very right. And there you have the calculated EBIT target of 337 million euros, and below the actual result of 387. So also for this year, mission accomplished. The development plan works. Moving to the very left, you can see where the bulk of the overachievement accrues. It's in the year one cluster to which we have allocated the damp clinics. Now, you may say that's not entirely fair, as those hospitals were already privatized when we acquired them. On the other hand, that is how we've always done it. This is no change of methodology. And importantly, even if you stripped out the overachievement in year one, we make the overall target. So the plan actually works. Now, the Rhone hospitals, given their aggregate mass, actually call for an adjustment to the methodology. And so for 2014, we will allocate them to the four-year bracket with an 8% EBIT margin target. On to the individual age classes. Year one, damp, we've covered already. Year two, a shortfall, but an EBIT swing of 6 million euros year on year. Year three, also a shortfall, but also an improvement year over year. Year five is characterized by hospitals that are just pre the finalization of major construction projects, and that is the explanation for profitability going sideways. Year six, target reached, with a year-over-year EBIT increase of 20%. The maturity cluster, also target reached. We're not quite happy with the 17 to 31 ratio you see at the bottom, but that is what we're going to be working on, and that is actually why we revised the plan last summer, to make it more ambitious. Briefly on to cash flow on slide 17, which was, again, very solid in this past fourth quarter. Let's start with the group at the bottom, operating cash flow of 754 million versus 619 in Q3 and 503 in the second quarter. Agreed, the full-year margin of 11.4% is slightly below the previous year. But you will recall that 2012 includes cash from the collection of overdue payments in Spain and Portugal, and also some extraordinary items from Vamed's project business. CapEx at 5.1% is well in line with expectations, and consequently, free cash flow nicely above 6% for the full year. For the individual businesses, very strong cash collections at FMC, also a very decent quarter at Helios with a year-on-year DSO improvement. I'm still not entirely happy with inventories at Kabi, but we're in the process of taking care of that. And for Vamed, we actually saw the strong finish I had guided you to with a positive operating cash flow full year. As for 2014, for the group, we expect to achieve an operating cash flow of 10 to 11%. CapEx guidance comes in at approximately 6% of sales. So as in the past, and you may recall the slide that I was showing you last year on this occasion, we're looking at a free cash flow in the mid-single digits. On that basis, we're also guiding you, fully incorporating closing of the Rhön transaction, to a net debt to EBITDA in a range between 3 and 3.25. Over to the guidance for Fresenius Kabi, where Mark has already pointed out to you what the key driver of the organic growth is. You see that at the bottom of that page, it is the ongoing uncertainty with regard to the IV drug market shortage in North America. And also, if you put together everything that I said about my expectations for the individual regions within Kabi, you should arrive at a margin for Kabi of 16 to 18%. The upper end, basically indicating no change from the drug shortage situation that is prevailing right now. The 16% would foresee a significant easing of that drug shortage situation. Now, some of you have asked why even the upper end of that margin range is below what we're seeing in 2013. Now, first of all, there are already some indications that the drug shortage situation has eased relative to where we were a year ago. But second and thirdly, you also see the points at the bottom of that page. It is in particular the full year effect of missing Hays sales in EBIT and the full year effect of the price cuts in China. Over the page on Helios, where at this point in time, we prefer only to give a guidance for Helios as it stands right now. We have a lot of respect for guiding you, and as Mark indicated earlier, we really want to make sure that we deliver the goods. And therefore, we would like to be the proper owners of these hospitals before we give you a hard, solid, reliable guidance. We also have a lot of respect for our colleagues at Rhön and clearly do not want to front-run their communication to the capital markets, which is due only about 2 weeks from now. For the existing Helios portfolio, as in prior years, we do forecast 3 to 5% organic growth. Where we're coming from is never change your winning guidance, but I would readily admit that this incorporates a cautious stance on organic patient growth. Given that we have a higher price inflator than in prior years, and given that we also have the support from the federal aid package. We actually had a decent start to the year as far as organic patient growth is concerned, so it remains to be seen whether that growth guidance will prove to be too cautious. As far as the EBIT guidance is concerned of 390 to 410, some of you have already asked me why there isn't more progress relative to what we're showing in 2013. What you need to incorporate is the two hospitals that we had to dispose of in order to make the Rhön acquisition work, and Borna and Zwenkau, they would have contributed an EBIT between 10 and 15 million euros this year. So that is what you have to adjust for. Then you're going to arrive at underlying EBIT growth. Let me confirm what Mark said. For 70% of the Rhön transaction, we have accomplished consolidation as from January 1. And whilst we will only come back to you at a later occasion, probably as part of a quarterly earnings call with a firm quantitative guidance, I want to echo what Mark just said, and we would like to fully qualitatively reconfirm our prior statements on synergies, integration cost, and EPS accretion. As far as Vamed is concerned, notwithstanding their strong performance in 2013, also they made their midterm target a year ahead of time. We believe in ongoing growth as far as sales and EBIT is concerned. The 5%-10% is the growth rate that we continue to see unabated, unchanged from what we were telling you a year ago. Put all this together on page 20 for the group, 12%-15% constant currency growth that is driven by organic growth in the mid-single digits, plus, first and foremost, the contribution that we expect the Rhön hospitals to make. That's going to take us to 12%-15% revenue growth. Net income growth, for the reasons that I mentioned earlier, in particular the uncertainty at Kabi and the IV drug shortages in North America. There we do foresee 2%-5%. As far as the midterm targets are concerned, some of you asked about the implied growth rate. And I'd say the proper way from our perspective to look at this is to take 2014 as the starting point. And if you do that, then you will, A, arrive at fairly similar growth rates for top and bottom line, and you will also arrive at bottom line growth rates that are in the very high single digits, if not stretching to the double digits. I believe that given the critical mass that we have put together, that is still a highly attractive growth rate. I also want to remind you that on the last two occasions, when we put out medium-term guide goals, we achieved them ahead of time, and therefore that is going to be, whilst we call that a stretch target, that is going to be an ambitious push for us to make that work. That concludes my part of the presentation. Mark and I will now be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
The first question is from Ed Ridley-Day, Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and good afternoon. If I could start with Kabi and your growth guidance, Stefan. You talk a lot about the uncertainty in the IV generic market in the US, and that has certainly been clearly an uncertain market in terms of guiding to that market for many years. Given that your share in propofol has held up so well, given that there has been no obvious change in market growth, as you yourself have said, in the early months of this year compared to fourth quarter, and that's what we hear from other companies as well, can you give us more color about what new uncertainty you are seeing that could get us, say, to minus 5%? That would be my first question.
Yeah, this is Mark. Maybe I can take a first crack at this. I think the fundamental difference here between the IV generics and the other Kabi product groups is how quickly that can swing around when product becomes available in the market and you've got a choice. And, you know, compared to the three other product groups, what we've seen time and time again is that the IV generic market gyrates up and down much more wildly. And we've had perfect storms. The one I remember was Q2 2009 when, you know, in a quick order of time, we saw things turn worse. And we weren't used to that sort of forecasting at the time yet because our IV fluids and nutrition businesses are so much more stable. And I think we didn't repeat that mistake, and we certainly have no intention of repeating it again. So for forces that are not under our control, I think we have no choice but to take a cautious view and then basically, you know, share with you the latest insight as we go through the year and adjust our guidance where needed.
No,
let me add that this is clearly more than just propofol, and that this is a fairly broad portfolio of individual drugs that our success is built on. And you will have heard that from me before. We continue to hold the view that we must not second-guess what our competitors are saying about how long it's going to take them to get their problems fixed. Yeah, and we're working on that basis. That is what the model is built on, and that implies a bit of caution.
No, absolutely. That's very clear. Thank you. But, I mean, is there any specific other products or product launches from competitors that you are concerned about that you would want to highlight?
If there is no specific knowledge we have at this present time that we have ahead of you. So, again, this is caution. But let me also put this into a wider context, and that is even in those good years when we saw very, very nice growth rates coming from the shortages, we warned you that there was going to be a time when this will normalize again and that this time will imply more cautious year-over-year comparables and that the underlying fundamental story is not shortages. In fact, you know, if we had a choice, we would prefer for no shortages to be there because clearly for the patients it's better to have no shortages. What our underlying story was getting new products approved and launching them. And I think over time, what we need to do is segue back to a situation where this is what's driving our growth. And hence, I think the data point I gave you earlier, that we're expecting a bolus of new applications and approvals and launches in the 15 to 17 timeframe. I think that, to me, is a more fundamental and more important point than a specific quarter on a specific truck that may be in shortage.
No, absolutely. In that case, my follow-up question would be, is there things we need to look at in terms of Fenwal? Because, Stefan, to your guidance that you still expect mid to high margins in the IV generics business in mid to high 30s, which is what I would have expected in terms of a gradual decline in the margin there, in looking at the fourth quarter and your comments on that, could you maybe quantify in more detail the impact of the Fenwal reversals on the fourth quarter margin?
Q4 saw negative EBIT from Fenwal. So it was that is what I said, and therefore it had a very meaningful effect on the margin, pushing it down to the around 32% that I mentioned. But that is a true one-off. On the other hand, going forward, in particular, given the amortization charge, you heard that on prior quarterly
yes.
calls, notwithstanding the underlying progress that we're making, Fenwal is going to have a dilutive effect.
And Ed, let me just take that opportunity to build on what Stefan just said. I know there was some nervousness in the market surrounding this business, and this came back to, you know, some competitors commenting on specific tenders, which is not our policy to do. And let me just say, we are very happy with how this integration is going and with how the business is going. So again, as Stefan pointed out, the fourth quarter situation clearly is part of our integration and is part of upgrading that business over time, as we have guided you to expect. And whatever disappointment you may be seeing here in our expectations for 2014 is not primarily driven by Fenwal.
Thank you very much. I will get back in the queue.
The next question is from Tom Jones, Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. I had two on Helios and one on the medium-term guidance. I was just wondering with Helios whether you could give us a bit more color about what drove the slowdown in organic growth in Q4. You know, given the favorable reimbursement changes, I guess it was volumes, but some color there would be helpful. The second question on Helios relates to the 17-31 split of hospitals above and below target for Helios in the 6-year and longer group. You know, as a group, that portfolio of hospitals is within the 12-15% margin target. So is it, you know, that there are just a lot of smaller hospitals that are sort of sub margin, or are there a couple of big hospitals which need to be turned around or improved on to really swing the margins there? I'm just trying to get a feel for what, you know, what kind of level of incremental EBIT you could possibly generate out of those 31 facilities that have been around for a while that are still below par, you know, over perhaps the next 1 to 2 years. And then I'll ask the last question in a sec.
Tom, this is Mark. Let me start on the organic growth question, then hand it to Stefan for the margin model. I think you're right. in light of the inflator that we saw and also that special package that kicked in August 1st, organic growth was a little soft in the second half of 2013. To our knowledge, this is mostly driven by less growth on the case numbers than we had anticipated. We have seen this not just in our hospitals. We've seen this elsewhere as well, and we're still trying to understand it. However, we're not aware of any permanent trend here. And so, in fact, as Stefan pointed out, January was quite satisfactory on that front, and we're still trying to understand it better. There was some concern of the German market about specific procedures and whether those are overprescribed, if you will. I'm not sure whether that's driving it. There's certainly nothing here that we believe that is really permanently reducing the case numbers. In fact, if you look at demographics, you should expect that case numbers over time will hold up and grow.
Sure. Okay, that's helpful.
And Tom, maybe to add to that, really we haven't found a good explanation for it. That's why I said nothing structural. It can be something as mundane as a variant and no real flu season, or it can be the exact location of the Christmas holidays. But notwithstanding that, the absence of a very good explanation, we've taken a more cautious stance on patient growth, as I mentioned when I was talking about Helios's guidance. On your second question, Tom, the 17 to 31, I really would like to turn that on its head and say that is the reason why we revised methodology. That is, at least in the very first year, the effect of including the post-acute facilities.
Okay.
Yeah. And therefore, as we mentioned, structurally come at a lower margin. You shouldn't expect those to reach the 15%, but we'll be trying hard to get not all, but most of them, into that 12% cluster.
Okay. Any idea roughly, that you can share with us where they are now in terms of the post-acute care and how much of the current revenue base that those facilities account for?
Give me at least a fig leaf, okay?
Yeah. Fair enough. And the final question was just a sort of more conceptual one on the $30 billion 2017 revenue goal. From a base of $20 billion this year, I guess two of that additional 10 comes from Rhone, roughly. Of the remaining eight, would you be prepared to give us at least some feel of how much of that is likely to come organically and how much from acquisitions across the business?
Tom, we can't give a precise breakdown, but I think we are stressing that organic growth is the cornerstone of making our targets, and that, acquisitions, as you know, looking at Helios when they're privatizing hospitals or Kabi making small tuck-under acquisitions or FMC acquiring new dialysis centers, I mean, those occur all the time.
Sure.
But the key number that we watch is organic growth, and we see no sign of that really weakening over time significantly.
Perfect. So would it be fair to assume that target includes the usual sort of stream of tuck-ons that you've done pretty much every year for time immemorial, but doesn't include anything on the very substantial Rhone APP sort of scale?
Absolutely, and those things happen. You may recall from the past, our technique was always the same, and that is we take the deal, we size it up, and we add it to the target. So this is small to mid-sized acquisitions that are part of our acquisition routine. If there's big stuff coming, we'll adjust the target.
Sure, great. That's all very clear. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Veronika Dubajova, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I'd like to start off just by looking at the Kabi tailwinds and headwinds. And Stefan, I appreciate there are a lot of moving parts, but can you help us understand the size of the China headwind and the HES headwind that you have in mind as you think about 2014?
Look, in round numbers, that China is a 500 million euro market. We were indicating that the price cut was 8 to 10%, yeah, and it kicked in the month of February.
This was February 2013 or February 2014?
It kicked in February 13.
Okay.
Now we have the annualization effect of a good month in 2014.
Understood. And in terms of Hess?
In terms of Hess, we were saying that it all happened over the course of the first quarter. We rapidly lost sales and EBIT over the course of Q2 and Q3, even more in Q4, but we believe that we've reached the bottom in Q4.
Okay. Because simplistically looking at this, you have upside from remediation, upside from Fenwal, if I have done my math correctly, and those imply, you know, upside of $80 million or so in terms of EBIT, and you have it offset by 5 to 25 in terms of the tailwinds, the headwinds. I'm just trying to understand why the EBIT guidance for Kabi is not greater than what you've provided. And correct my math if I've made a mistake there somewhere.
Your math was a bit too fast for me, Veronica. I may have to look at that a bit separately. But I mentioned three factors. Yes, it is his, but the profitability of that product mustn't be underestimated. It is the China effect that I just mentioned. And the third factor that I mentioned is that relative to where we were a year ago, we've already seen a bit of easing in the U.S. drug shortages.
Okay, understood. And can you comment a little bit on your medium-term guidance expectations for Kabi is 18 to 21%, given that in theory you might be looking at a margin as low as 16% this year? Is that something that you still believe in?
Look, Veronica, the 18 to 21 are formally still out, but we have not adjusted that margin target for the arrival of Fenwal, where, as Mark said earlier, this is a structurally more stable but also margin dilutive business. It is not adjusted for the aim to grow even more in medical devices, where the same metrics do apply. I also want to caution you that even at the heydays of drug shortages, we never went beyond the 21%. So bear with us until we see a bit clearer on drug shortages. Bear with us until we are a bit clearer on medical devices, and then we will give you a proper update for the midterm target for Fresenius Kabi. But the 16% that clearly at the bottom end of our range, that clearly should not be seen as an indication for the midterm for Fresenius Kabi.
Terrific. I'll jump back into the queue. Thank you.
Terry, can you hear me? Any further questions? Terry, can you hear me correct?
Yes, I can hear you. The next question is from Alex Clubman. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. So just three questions for me. So the first one is just in the 2017 guidance, can you give any sense of what assumptions you're taking for medical care within that in terms of Medicare rates and cost management? And then I'll do the next two after that, if that's okay.
Yeah. We have not provided a specific breakdown by business segment of that midterm target, but of course it fully incorporates what CMS has legislated and announced in November, and so we're basically working from that.
Okay, and then on acquisitions, just so when do you think you'll be ready to do another big strategic deal, so sort of a Rhone-sized deal? I mean, clearly you want to digest Rhone first, so how many years do you think it would take to get that process done, and when might you be ready for something big again?
Well, as a matter of policy, we prefer to announce those deals after the fact when they're concluded, so it's kind of hard to point to one. But I think unlike small to mid-sized deals that really occur as a standard business process over time, these hard ones are hard to plan for. And what counts for us more than a big deal is that on the existing deals, we do a solid integration job, deliver the financial targets that we're committing to, and making sure the whole thing works. And so we don't plan those. We're not in a rush to do anything new. I mean, keep in mind, we're just 2 days from closing, the last big one. Closing is anticipated to occur this Thursday when it comes to those ruined hospitals. And so this is one massive integration job we have ahead of ourselves for later this year. It would certainly be premature now to basically race to the next target. And it's right now, you know, I mean, we have a lot of focus on just strong operational performance, good integration job, good organic growth.
Okay, no, very clear. Thanks. And just last one, it's probably more housekeeping, but just on the Rhone, on the one-time cost and the synergies, is there any change on the phasing for that or any more visibility on phasing, you know, given when you close the deal and just for us thinking about the quarters as we go ahead this year?
In all likelihood, the share of one-time expenses is, given the delayed closing, going to shift a bit more into 2015.
Okay, clear. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from David Addington, J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. I'm just going to try and push you a little bit more on the 2017 guidance and just whether you could give us any sort of help in terms of your margin assumptions, either by division, preferably, or maybe overall, going out on that time frame, please.
David, we have taken this really from a group perspective, therefore, we very deliberately, consciously wanted to refrain at this point to provide updates on individual business segment midterm outlooks. As I mentioned, for Fresenius Kabi, bear with us. Also, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Fresenius Helios to put out a new guidance ahead of us being the proper owners of Helios. Finally, also Fresenius Medical Care with its Capital Market Day coming up. We clearly didn't want to steal their thunder. So I'm afraid, David, you've got to bear with us. But on the other hand, what you should work on as a as an assumption is that we will continue to see at least margin stability in our businesses going forward.
Okay, thank you.
This time there are no further questions.
Okay, Jerry, if that's the case, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for joining. We hope to we were able to give you some more clarity on our expectations, and then we'll talk to you again in Q1.
Thank you.
We want to thank Fresenius and all the participants for taking part of this conference call. Goodbye.